Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts, Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ribble. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And hello and good evening. It is once again Monday night, and I am your host, Robin McKean. And we are here tonight on Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health. And for those of you who are regular listeners, you know that Lisa is still on her break from having her knee surgery. She's doing well. As a matter of fact, she's visiting me this weekend, but she's an early to bedder, so she's off to bed. And hopefully she'll be, you know, feeling well enough soon to join us on one of these shows and come back to us, because we do miss her. But for tonight, I have my co-host with us, Terry Power. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Aha, yay! And I am really excited about tonight's show. We have an old friend on the show this evening. As many of my guests, I guess, tend to be friends and people I've known over the years. But I met Hercules at the same event that I met Terry at for the first time. So years ago at the Woven Roots event. So it's kind of a milestone in my life. So, and he was a part of it. So it's nice to have him here this evening. Hercules, are you with us this evening?
I am with you, and I'm honored to be here.
Yay. We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you.
So for any of the, like, you know, two people out there who aren't familiar with who you are, Hercules, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I am an explorer of life's mysteries and a mythic entertainer. The reason I identify with those more than presenting myself as a spiritual counselor or teacher is because I really don't have any answers. I've explored lots of things, and I could speak about them at great length. But my perspective changes as my journey takes me forward. So whatever I'm sharing is what I see from where I'm standing at that particular point in time and where I've stood before. And I could be standing someplace else seconds from now. So my perspective will change. And I like to make my presentations entertaining. I like to have people entertain different thoughts, different ways of looking at things, without feeling that they need to accept what it is that I'm telling them is absolute truth.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's a wonderful way of looking at it. It's a great description. I've not heard it described that exact way before, but I really like that. And I may actually steal that. I'm just putting you on notice.
That's fine.
Or at least some of it.
There's lots of us out there.
I tell, I tell people all the time I don't have any answers, but I've got a lot of opinions, and I'll share them.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Well, the opinions I share in workshops and through events and things like that, but that's all they are, their opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
let's see, what
we'll
else? I'm
them.
Greek.
So I remember from, you know, some of our conversations in the past that you guys are pretty active locally in sort of like the I remember that you were always into the books and giving the kids books. And,
we're still doing that.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you talk a little bit about some of the good things that you got you and Athena do, your wife.
Okay. Athena is my wife, and she's my partner in all things, and the best years of my life have been with Athena. Currently we're living in Tenafly, New Jersey, which is an awesome place to live. It's in scenic Bergen County, and we moved our temenos here. Temenos is a Greek term meaning sacred space. It's very similar to the Celtic nemeton.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing in Tenafly is we're exploring the mysteries of the area. Tenafly means 10 swamps. And in antiquity, swamps were considered to be gateways to other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So we're investigating that. And that investigation actually started for me back in the 1970s when I lived here briefly. And I was working on a book at that time, and my publisher had some reports from psychics that there was something going on in one of the wooded areas off East Clinton Avenue. So he sent me there, and then I gave him my impressions. They included ancient Phoenicians and scroll tubes and all sorts of strange things. And it kind of sat there for a while, and then when we came back, I decided to pick up this investigation again. So in terms of our temenos, that's the main area of focus. We haven't recruited folks to join us yet, but we will soon.
Cool.
We're also doing several free events every month. One is a Mythic Atlantis meetup, and that's in a Greek restaurant called Yasu Mykonos in Demarest. And right now the Mythic Atlantis meetup has gone from being an informational type of resource for people who are curious about Atlantis to being the planning board, as it were, for our Mythic Atlantis event that's coming up a little later in the year. We also run a Mythic Adventure role-playing game at the Tenafly Library. Right now it's on break, but it'll be picking up again in February, and that's called The Time Wars. And it's the far future meets ancient Greece and old Atlantis. And it's a complex science fiction adventure that's based on years of role-playing we've done. And now we're doing it here locally. And we also have the Center for the Study of Living Myth, which is monthly at the Kresge Library. And the idea behind that is I've experienced and learned many things. And I'm pretty open in sharing them. A lot of people experience things and are afraid to share them because they're afraid of being ridiculed or so forth, or their topics are too strange. So they hear me talking about it, they feel free to share their experiences. And because people are sharing their experiences, they get to see that there's a commonality. So a lot of things that are normally taboo for people to talk about in terms of the paranormal or the psychic, they feel comfortable talking about it. So those are the things we do all the time. And then we have a bunch of events coming up. Do you want me to go down the list?
Sure. No, yeah, let's hear what you've got coming up.
Okay, let's see. Aside from the stuff that goes on all the time, March 19th, there's going to be a Makers Fair at the Kresge Library. And this is going to be a lead-in event to our Mythic Atlantis event. And I'll be talking about mythic robots and ancient robots there.
Oh, cool.
From March to May at the Fairlawn Adult Education, I'm running two classes, each one with 12 sessions. The Mythic Tradition, which is a more mainstream version of our Olympian Shamanism classes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ancient Mysteries, which deals with the Atlanteans and other mythical mysteries. On April 3rd, I'll be talking at the New York Disclosure Network in New York. They deal primarily with UFOs, so I'll be dealing with Atlantis from a UFO perspective. From mid-April to mid-May, we have at the Paramus Community Education for Kids, we have a version of Time Wars running there. And then we have something that's called Champions of Olympus, or the Junior Superhero League, where kids look into what their own superpowers are and how they could apply them toward making the world a better place. April 16th is our big event, Mythic Atlantis, and this is the first one. We're planning a second one again later in the year, but this is where it begins. Imagine a comic book convention, a Halloween party, and a metaphysical fair having a love child together, and that's kind of like what Mythic Atlantis is conceptualized as, and we're encouraging people to come in costume and have a lot of fun. And then in June, I'm doing something I'm really excited about. On the 18th, I'm doing an Olympian Mysteries, and that's not like mysteries like a whodunit or a murder mystery. It's mysteries as in initiatic mysteries based on the apotheosis of Hercules, and this is going to be the Shapatu of Ishtar. And I'm really, really, really excited about that.
Now,
and
well,
we're still planning the
change.
Summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
Hands of Change is putting on the Apatu
yes.
of Ishtar, yes?
Yes, it is. They're an awesome organization. They're also very visible. And I believe that spiritualities that are not mainstream need to be much more visible. They need for people to see what they're all about, because a lot of people have very strange opinions about what ancient religions are all about.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
The most common question I'm asked is if I dance naked. And I tell them with my wife, yes, but otherwise, no.
That depends on the company, right? Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Of course. And people, you know, talk about sacrifices and all sorts of things. And so I find that if they see you in the community, if you're doing positive things and helping people and don't take offense at the questions they ask of you, but answer them honestly, that it really opens people's eyes and increases the acceptance that they extend towards you.
Yes. And you
Absolutely.
Never know when you're, you never know when you're one good deed or one, you know, open and honest answer is going to help somebody else down the line or down the road who's also, you know, from a alternative spirituality.
Most definitely so.
Yeah, I think that's why about once a quarter I end up on an airplane next to a Christian minister of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems to be Terry's mission. The gods keep seating him on airplanes next to people with collars on. It's pretty funny.
It's exciting, though, too. You know, you learn a lot, and you have very interesting conversations. I take place in a lot of interfaith type of efforts, and in Pennsylvania more so than here in New Jersey, because we had our nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
So we would team up with all sorts of people, including different denominations of churches. When we lived in Einon, we had our store in Einon, we used to donate clothes and blankets to Christian organizations that used to distribute them to people in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And we made links with local Asatruar and with Celtic Druids. So it was a really interesting bunch of people joined together to make the life of other people, regardless of what they believed, more comfortable during the winter. So I think that if we focus on our shared humanity rather than our opinions about what this life is all about, that we could do a lot of good in the world. And once we see each other as
Absolutely.
People rather than the labels we assume for ourselves or we stick onto others, it does become a lot easier to get along. Because then you're dealing on a personal perspective and not what your thoughts happen to be about what the person believes or professes to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, we, as you said, we're all human beings. We're all have similar needs for warmth and comfort and food and camaraderie and love. And whether we believe, you know, there is one God or many gods or, you know, even no God, you know, our belief systems should not define who we are. Yeah.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate in a way because I'm very eccentric, and I tend to stand out, and I'm way out there all the time. And also I've spent a lot of my life in the human services field and education, in addition to my various mythic spiritual practices. You know, basically because there's nothing hidden or mysterious about me, I'm there for anybody to see. I've been able to get a lot of social acceptance, even with my eccentricities, than a lot of people get. So I'm very fortunate in that regard. Like here in Tenafly, I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce with my company, Mount Olympus, and I belong to the local Rotary Club, and I attend the town council meeting. So I'm very much a part of my community. I feel very connected with my community. I believe that I'm the only Olympian in the bunch, but that doesn't seem to matter to anybody, and it certainly doesn't matter to me. So we focus on Tenafly, which we can all agree that we love greatly, and the people who live in Tenafly and trying to make their lives better, regardless, again, of what they believe or don't believe. Tenafly recently had a holiday parade in which they had a rabbi, a Catholic priest, and someone who represented Islam do ceremonies in Hyler Park. And I was at the head of the parade, and I'm an Olympian. I was dressed in my Olympian garb and holding a branch that had lights in it. And it was about the holidays, and we celebrate our differences together. So I was really honored to be part of that. That was truly awesome.
That is awesome. Well,
very cool.
I have a couple of questions. I have a couple of questions about Tenafly, because I'm familiar with Tenafly, New Jersey.
Oh,
first,
great.
Is Rosie's Diner still there?
Rosie's Diner. What is Rosie's Diner?
It was a gorgeous tin can diner in Tenafly.
There's still a tin can diner in Tenafly, but I don't know. I think it's called the Tenafly Diner now, if it's the same place.
Ah,
this is like an old-style diner with a metal outside. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes,
that's changed hands many times. I know when I first moved to Tenafly in the 70s, and then a couple of times I spent between Life Adventures and Tenafly for a few months. It had different names, and now it's a Tenafly Diner.
Okay.
So what brought you to Tenafly?
I just remember that just being a really nice example of an old 50s, you know, like I said, tin can diner. And just I have a fondness for them. My previous husband's family owns one and spent a lot of time in one. So and being from New Jersey, which is the diner state.
yes, of course.
I spent a lot of time in diners. And I used to have a friend who lived in Dumont. Is that right near you?
Dumont is near Tenafly, yes.
Mm-hmm. And he had the most haunted house I have ever been in my life. I just didn't know if maybe there was any, you know, legendary haunted house myths from that area, if you knew of any.
Everyone and their mother is exploring ghosts now. So other than privately, I've decided to stay out of that arena. But I can ask around. I know a lot of people who are into the haunted houses and things like that. They come to my workshops, so I can definitely start asking about Dumont.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this went back to the 80s, so this was a long time ago, but I'm sure that it was pretty profound at the time. But I mean, like we went into the kitchen for 2 minutes, came back in, and all the furniture in the living room was turned upside down. It was pretty cool.
That's pretty
anyway,
extreme, yes.
Yeah, no, that's a story for another day. So I just wanted to say that I'm so happy that you are so healthy. And so, you know, you have such a healthy attitude about your spirituality and being a part of your community. And it's the one thing on this show and, you know, in all our shows that we try to explain to people that the longer we hide in the shadows and the longer we try to not show people, you know, what we are doing and who we are, the more we perpetuate the stereotypes and perpetuate the fears that people have about things that, you know, all the bad advertising we've had from all the different sources for the last 200, 300 years or whatever.
As long as people perceive us as those creepy people living in mommy's basement, we're always going to be those creepy people living in mommy's basement instead of professionals having real jobs and paying their bills and taking care of their kids and being involved in the community and, being responsible, rational adults. You know, it's time we quit hiding.
Yeah. I agree 100%, because people will not see you unless you let yourself be seen. And if you're I find that some people are into the I'm part of a persecuted subculture
yeah.
that's misunderstood.
Yeah,
and,
the victim mentality.
They seem to revel in that. And the way that they dress seems to reinforce some of the stereotypes mm-hmm. that people have without explaining, you know, what different
yeah.
things mean.
Yeah, well, there's the people that live in a state of rebellion, and they don't really belong to the community. They're rebelling against something else, and this is the flavor of the month or whatever. And then you've got the people, like you said, that are just the perpetual victims. And they've got this victim mentality, and then it's self-perpetuating. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy when you go out dressed all in black with a hubcap pentacle and do all the things that are going to draw attention to yourself, and then you can point fingers and say, well, I don't have what I want because those people, are reacting
mm-hmm.
badly to me. But, you're drawing it on yourself to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always found that living a fairly normal existence, going about my day in everyday workaday clothes, jeans, T-shirt, sneakers, that people make assumptions about me. And then when they find out that those assumptions are absolutely not correct, but they know this very normal person is this, well-spoken, outgoing, cheerful, friendly. My child is people look at my kid all the time and tell me how, great she is and how well-behaved she is. And then they find out that I'm pagan and
mm-hmm.
that I have a radio show and that I'm a high priestess and that I have a coven and, I'm a holistic health coach. And then they have a whole different perspective of me because they expect people like that to fit into one of two categories, either this sort of dressed all in black, depressed goth kind of stereotypical, person, or some hippy-dippy chick in a broom skirt, and a halter top who has no idea where she parked her car 10 minutes ago. and if you're
those
not falling into either one of those categories, they don't know what to do with you. So
I'm fortunate, again, because I'm a Tenafly, and here I'm actually the herald of new business for the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
So once a month or so, and we have some time off now because of the cold weather, I dress up in my full Olympian regalia, and I go to various businesses that opened during the period since we did the last one, and I welcome them to our community, and I announce the arrival of the president of the Chamber of Commerce, our mayor, and whatever other dignitaries are going to be there.
Nice.
And then we all stand and pose for a ribbon-cutting ceremony. And then
mm-hmm.
I go forth to the next business and announce the new business and so forth. So that's a lot of fun. And I'm dressed
mm-hmm.
In kind of like sword and sandal movie, ancient Greek style.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's a lot of fun. Our Mythic Atlantis, too, we're encouraging people to dress up, they could dress up in anything they want. They don't have to dress
mm-hmm.
up as Atlanteans. But we want the dress-up to be part of the fun also so that there isn't anything threatening about wearing something, that
mm-hmm.
Might seem out of the ordinary.
Okay. For anybody who may not, I don't know if there is anybody really on our planet who hasn't heard of the concept of Atlantis. Why don't you speak a little bit about what is Atlantis and why do we look back to it?
Atlantis was introduced to Western consciousness by Plato in two of his works, the Timaeus and the Critias. And Atlantis was this civilization that was repelled by the Athenians, of all people, and they represented Plato's ideal state
mm-hmm.
in this allegory. And he got the story from a priest at Sais in Egypt who chastised the Greeks for being as children because they didn't remember things that happened long ago, and the world is destroyed many times and arises again from primitivity and barbarism and then becomes civilized once again. So Plato introduced it to us through his works, and Herodotus, in his histories, mentions the Atlantides, which was the settlements that were around Mount Atlas. But that didn't capture people's imaginations like Plato's account. So since Plato introduced it, Atlantis has been a common theme in literature, and it kind of represents to a lot of people because mainly because I think of Edgar Cayce and Ignatius Donnelly and the Theosophists who introduced their own information about Atlantis. Mm-hmm. Atlantis is like a golden age civilization that reached a high state, whether technologically or scientifically or spiritually, and then their hubris caused them to be destroyed by the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And before they were destroyed, they spread their culture throughout the world so that the commonalities between various cultures are sometimes ascribed to Atlanteans. Now it's become fashionable to attribute these similarities to ancient aliens. But before the ancient aliens, it was lost civilizations like Atlantis and Lemuria.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we're using Atlantis is we're not putting any particular interpretation of Atlantis out there, although because of our background, we're using the Greek mythic motif in our personal presentation, but Atlantis can mean whatever it means to you. So if you're a fan of Robert E. Howard, creator of Conan, his Kull stories were set in Atlantis. So if that's your Atlantis, that's perfectly fine with us. Atlantis is a mirror in which we can see ourselves, and some of the stories about Atlantis in the diverse literature talk about things that sound like cloning, talk about things that sound like robots, talk about things that sound like you know, a crystal-based technology. So these are things that are existing more and more in our world, and are going down those paths may lead to someplace greater, may lead to destruction. So Atlantis becomes a cautionary tale.
I want to jump in here with a question.
Sure.
I apologize for interrupting your stream there. You mentioned specifically, and I was going to ask you about this, this was kind of a perfect segue. You mentioned crystal-based technology.
Right.
I had a book once upon a time, and I'm a hoarder of books. So, I mean, I'm borderline, diagnosable when it comes to books.
Me too, probably. So, I have many, many, many books.
So if I had a book that I no longer have, then something happened to it.
Uh-huh.
So I had a book. It was called Crystal Power, The Secrets of Atlantean Crystal Technology or something to that effect.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with this book?
I'm familiar with the title. That may be one of the books that we've had or one of the books that we sold when we had a store. But that, as you said, the title, it definitely rang bells.
It had some technology like crystal wands. And,
yes. I've definitely held that book in my hand and I've looked through it. I may have owned it at one point. I may still own it. It might be in a box somewhere. But if I come across it, I'll put it aside for you.
Yes, please, because I have been trying to track down a copy and it has disappeared. I mean, I can't find it. I've been looking for 5 years for a copy of this book. And
well, I will keep my eyes open.
Amazing stuff that resonated with me. So,
yeah, the crystals even played a part in the movies that were made about Atlantis. You know, the old type movies. You know, where they had the crystal technology, and they based that a lot on Archimedes's. He had like these magnifying glasses or mirrors that focused the sun and burned enemy ships. So somehow the crystal technology of the Atlanteans wound up getting connected with that in somebody's imagination, and we've had the images ever since. The crystals, I remember when I was young, and now I'm almost 60, that people used to laugh at the savages for saying that, you know, quartz crystals allowed you to communicate with people who are far away and to look at things that happened in the past or might happen in the future or never happened on this planet. And since that time, crystals have allowed us to do those things through computers.
Mm-hmm.
And the information age all of a sudden made all those bizarre claims of shaman very, very real.
Mm-hmm.
And in my particular looking at Atlantis, you know, I mention that a lot, and I look at that a lot, that like the ancient alien people, you know, sometimes looking at the past through the lens of the present allows you to see things in a totally different way than you were taught to see them, and to ask yourself some really interesting questions. Not that there are any, like, real answers, but still, the journey of asking yourself the questions is pretty exciting and amazing sometimes.
Absolutely. Yes. Everything begins.
And you mentioned the far communication. There was actually something in that book that was like a copper band with a silver disc and a crystal on the front of it. Do you remember that in the book that you were referring to?
No, that I don't remember. I remember there were I had crystal books that had different devices in them, including rods and wands, and some of them incorporated metal bands and wires, but the details aren't very clear in my mind. I hoard books, and I've looked at and had many, 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 many books.
Well, if you do come across that, and if any of our listeners out there know of where a copy is, find me. We'll talk at the end of the show about how to get in touch with us, because I've been looking for this seriously for at least 5 years.
Well, I hope your quest is successful today.
I apologize for the interruption.
No. If we can help each other out attain our quests, then that's a pretty awesome thing. One of the things I liked about the intro to your show, going in a totally different direction altogether, is that in addition to looking at people's spiritual health, you also look at their physical health, and that's something that I'm involved in too. In Tenafly, Tenafly is a healthy New Jersey town. It has a designation, and our mayor has a mayor's wellness campaign.
Awesome.
So one of the things I got involved with when I first came back to Tenafly was the mayor's wellness campaign. And first I was a conspirator in wellness, which means I was kind of helping out with things. And now I'm a champion in wellness, and I'm like really advocating for the wellness of people in Tenafly. And I had something called Fitness Quest that lasted for a few months, and now I'm doing something different. But there was whatever you're doing to get healthier, and it could be gaining weight, losing weight, running more, running less. You know, everyone has different goals and different ways of reaching those goals.
Right.
But we would celebrate on my web pages your effort to get healthier, and we would share your particular journey with everybody. And then I met with many business owners and individuals in town who, through their efforts, are trying to make Tenafly a healthier place to live. And just gathered a lot of information and created like a network of links and so forth. So that was pretty exciting, and I learned a lot about the town that way too.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I actually was. I am aware of the healthy, you know, town, healthy city initiative, but unfortunately, they don't seem to be doing that much in Pennsylvania. At least not in the middle of nowhere where I live. But it would be a great thing if I could get perhaps the city of Williamsport more interested in that, because, boy, could we use it out here.
That would be awesome.
You go to the mall here, and there's so many people who are, you could just see they're just, you know, in need of some help. So not to mention that diabetes and all these other autoimmune diseases are just on the rise and out of control. And that's one of the things that's near and dear to my heart, is I have lots of friends who have diabetes. My previous husband lost him to Crohn's disease, which is autoimmune. And yeah, and thanks. And so it's one of the reasons that I'm on the path that I chose. I'm a certified holistic health coach, and it's one of the things that we talk about often on the show, is how to integrate being healthy into your whole life, not just, oh, I'm going to go to the gym twice a week, or I'm going to walk 45 minutes every day, because that is an important part of the picture, but it's not everything. So you have to think about what kind of foods are going to be best for you, and everybody's different. Not everybody can be a vegetarian. Not everybody can eat low-carb, high-protein diet. Not everybody can eat, you know, nothing but fruit. So you have to really look at how you're doing and experiment. And it's really best done with a little bit of guidance from somebody who's experienced a lot of it. And especially if you have any sort of health challenges, like an autoimmune, like diabetes or anything. You have weight to lose or, like you said, weight to gain or hypoglycemia or, you know, whatever it may be. But anyway, that's kind of what we do. And we look at your whole life and make suggestions about little baby steps about how to make little changes that are going to benefit you greatly. So we don't try to come in there and, you know, turn a, you know, meat and potato guy into a vegetarian overnight. That's just not going to happen.
I was diagnosed with diabetes a few years ago, and actually I became rail thin and I fell down stairs a couple of times. It was pretty bad. I had difficulty, like, mm-hmm. balancing and walking. So I had to, you know, do something. And I actually think I got the diabetes from following bad ancient bodybuilding advice, because I always liked lifting weights, and I did that throughout my life. And I wanted to get bigger and stronger, so I started following these pre-steroid bodybuilding diets.
Mm-hmm.
And they involved drinking like a gallon of milk a day.
Oh,
so I was lactose intolerant, but it took me like a while to build up a resistance to milk. So I was drinking like a gallon of milk a day and oranges. So I was eating 6 oranges a day, and my system crashed. So I lost all the muscle I gained. I lost all the strength I had gained, and I had to start from the beginning. So I found that what worked for me, and I've been on it ever since, has been a high-protein, high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet, which is called like the paleo diet or the Atkins diet. You know, it has different names. But for me, I found that that keeps me healthy, and I don't even have to worry about weight or anything. As long as I eat the right foods, my body is at a great weight. And I found that until I got the ability to lift weights again, which I love doing, I used the Charles Atlas system. It's kind of like isometrics, isotonics. It used to be in the back of comic books.
Yep, I remember.
I'm now actually an honorary vice president of Charles Atlas because I did some work with them last year. So that was like a childhood dream come true, too. It was like mind-boggling, you know, that that would be something that would happen in my life. So, I have to watch what I eat, and it changes, too. When you get used to eating a certain way, all of a sudden I get this taste on my tongue that tells me that something's wrong with my sugar. And I have to, you know, remodulate the foods that I'm eating and sometimes stop eating something for a while. And it's constantly something that I have to adjust and watch. And it was a wake-up call, and it actually turned out to be a good thing in the long run. Diabetes is not fun, and I'm not advocating anybody trying to get it, but the effect it had on me was it really woke me up, and I became very, very mindful of health and very, very focused on it. I knew people who had lost the limbs or their vision, and I did not want to go that route, so I took it very seriously.
All right, guys,
well,
we are past the bottom of the hour. I hate to jump in here, but we do need to play a song.
Okay, yes, sir.
And take a break. So seemed like it struck me that Antlered Crown and Standing Stone by Dog the Bard would be a song for tonight.
Okay.
First, it's one of my favorite songs, but also it just seems to go along with the conversation to a certain degree. So we're going to play that and a little promo for Caldera Fest, and everybody stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Terrific, thanks.
I am the face within the leaf. I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand, and everywhere that I have been, my passing turns to gray to green. The birds sing to the dawn.
Join us Thursday, May 26th through Monday, May 30th, Memorial Day weekend 2016, for Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival. Join 29 of your favorite bands and musicians, including Tuatha Dea, Dave the Bard, Dragon Ritual Drummers, Wendy Rule, S.J. Tucker, Digis Christ Superdrum, and many more. Great music, great food, great vendors, and great workshops presented by the musicians themselves. Plus, the official CD release of The Green Album, a great collaboration album by many of the artists that will be at Caldera Fest. For more information, visit Caldera Fest on Facebook or go to www.calderafest.com.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And we're back from the break. Thank you all for coming back. And we are here tonight talking to Hercules Invictus about all the fun things he's doing, his Atlantean gathering coming up, and a bunch of other interesting stuff we've been talking about. Just sort of run the gamut this evening, a little hodgepodge stuff going on. And with me this evening is, of course, my partner in just about everything, including crime and all things in between, Terry Power. Did everybody make it back from the break?
I'm here.
I think we're all here.
Yay. Okay, awesome. Hercules, I was thinking during the break, and we had touched a little bit on the Hands of Change Ishtar event that's happening. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and clarify that for me?
The Shapatu of Ishtar is a three-day camping event that will be initiatic, and it will follow an ancient Near Eastern death and rebirth ritual through a bunch of mythic performances.
Oh, cool.
So it'll appeal to a wide variety of people. My background is, of course, Olympian, so my mysteries are going to be Olympian, although they will incorporate ancient Near Eastern and Scandinavian elements because I think it's important. I'm a syncretist. I believe that there are different cultural guises for these timeless patterns that are sometimes called gods, sometimes called angels, sometimes called powers. So in the part that I'm putting together, I made that part of the ceremony. And even though these are male mysteries, primarily, I believe that they're universal. Death and rebirth, change, these are not things that are only confined to the experience of men. So the ceremony will be open to both genders. And I'm going to focus, in addition to the myths, on just the process in life of continuous change, of continuous death and rebirth, of continuous redefinition, of continuous exploration of different facets of who we are, because I believe that's something that everybody can relate to. And it's a great event. Everything that I've heard about it so far is phenomenal, and I'm going to try to stay for as much of it as I can because it certainly promises something that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Yeah. Mara, one of the event coordinators of this event for Hands of Change called me about a week or so ago and asked if we would be interested in participating, and I'm going to be there helping out with doing the women's mysteries.
Oh, fantastic!
Ritual. And I think that Terry is going to be over there with you, helping out with the male mysteries, or at least I think she was going to discuss that with you. So surprise!
fantastic! We'll get to see each other. It's been too long, so this is great.
Yeah, it has. It has.
Things
have been so crazy out here, so. But yeah, it'd be nice to get back into the New Jersey community. Those are my teeth.
Definitely will.
And the only thing I have to do is I had committed to doing all of this without thinking about it because it was Amara, and she's always been so supportive and helpful for me over the years.
She's fantastic.
Each other, 20 years, and. Was describing it to Terry, and I'm like, oh, and it's June 17th, 18th, and 19th. And he went, aren't we supposed to be getting married on the 18th of June? And I went, oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So we may have to be moving our wedding. So that's a big shout-out there for anybody who's planning on coming to our wedding.
Isn't there a sacred marriage ceremony during... The rituals, if I remember correctly, there is a marriage ceremony. So,
in one of the plays, that's what I understood.
Yeah, We discussed that briefly, but I don't know. I don't think I want to inflict that on Amara.
Because getting remarried with Athena, we had our names finally legally changed because it was getting ridiculous, you know, the amount of stuff,
yeah.
You know, because we had our birth names as legal names, and then we had been using our real names, you know, the names that we identify for years, and now you know everything was a problem, so we just finally had them legally changed. So we figured we would get remarried, and we were talking about doing it like very publicly here in Tenafly.
Nice.
And so you know we would have that as a celebration that everybody can participate in. But yeah, I remember reading in the descriptions that there was some sort of a holy marriage planned, so maybe that would be good.
Yeah,
or you could have two weddings.
Around
and...
a little. But I probably,
well,
like I said,
she saved us a lot on dresses and outfits because you know we just wear the costume and garb from the event. So.
Yeah, this
and
is true.
And you'll have great pictures to send to people and post on the internet.
Yeah, this is true. I should probably talk to Amara about it. But anyway, what was I going to say? We were so excited to, you know, be asked to be a part of the event, and I'm really looking forward to it. So for all of our, you know, listeners there, if you'd really like to come and meet Terry and I, and you're going to be in that New Jersey area, and again, Hercules, where is the event taking place?
I believe it's in Old Bridge. I didn't bring all my notes with me, but
okay.
I'm pretty sure it's
Old
Bridge.
That's right. It's on Charlene's land, our friend Charlene. And I believe it's, I forget what she used to call it, Gaia's
Grove? The event's the Shakatu of Ishtar. I don't know about your friend's land.
Yeah. No, that's the name of the event. But I have to get copy from Amara because I wanted to record an announcement and run it as an advertisement on the show like
that'd
we're doing
be awesome.
For Altera Fest. So
it is an Old Bridge. I did write that in my notes. So
yes,
it's an Old Bridge.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're going to be in that area, and you want to know how to get to the event or you want to get contact information for the event, you can give us a shout here at the station. And one of us will respond. And if you want to listen till the end of the show, we'll give you that address at the end of the show. And Hercules, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you to find out, you know, like what classes you're giving and where you're going to be appearing and what you're going to be up to, is there a good way for them to get in touch with you?
Sure, there's two good ways, actually. One way is on Facebook. And it's Hercules Invictus. There's several Hercules Invictus pages. Some of them are like fan pages, but I have one main page. That's the one where you could become my friend. So that's really the best way because I go on there twice a day and post updates. I also leave like a daily blessing for Mount Olympus, a daily task for Mount Olympus, and you know, several things like that. In addition to pictures of lions and the sun, which are very important symbols to me. And the other way is my website, which is HerculesInvictus.net. Between those two, everything we're doing is listed on there and links to everything. It took like a year to set everything up in Tenafly, you know, like just basically doing a lot of free things so that people can be familiar with us and what we do. Mm-hmm. And now we're building our business. And in addition to the workshops and the games and things like that, we're also available to do ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And we also do appearances. So recently I appeared with Santa Claus, and we delivered gifts to people in different hospitals and homes.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And we're also in a play. I was Samson, and Athena was the goddess of many names of the ancient Near East. So those were syncretic mythic equivalents, so we did that. And I also want to apply my career, which for over 30 years was vocational rehabilitation and career counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I can offer the world is if you want to do something, even if it's very strange, to find a way to do it. So I'll be offering workshops in that. So anybody who has a dream that they'd like to actualize, you could find information on Facebook or on our website when we start doing that. Right now I just put up a page explaining what I'll be doing.
Interesting. That's awesome.
Very cool.
Terrific. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, Terry, I am in a room with no clock, so I don't know where we are standing as far as time.
It's 4 minutes to 11.
Yeah, we're getting close to the top of the hour. It's just about time to start wrapping.
Okay. So then I will say that if you'd like to get in touch with myself or with Terry, the best way to do that is to send an email to littlestonebridge@gmail.com, or you can get in touch with us through the station, which is the surn.org@gmail.com. Did I do that right?
Yay,
okay. And you can just in the subject, I always forget that one, I don't know why, but in the subject line you can, you know, say, hey, I have a question that I want answered on a show, or I have a complaint, or I think you guys are great, or whatever it is, or I need info about whatever your subject is, basically, just so that, because we get a lot of email at that address for the radio station. So if you really want it to stand out, let us know, give us some clue in the subject what it's about. And then you can, of course, reach us on Facebook. My Facebook page is Spiritual Wellness Physical Health. My other Facebook page is Robin A. McKean. And you can also reach me on Little Stone Bridge Pathworking's Facebook page. Now, that's the page if you're interested in Terry and I coming and doing an appearance, teaching workshops, spiritual counseling, couples counseling, holistic health, coaching. Those are all the that's the place, the best place to reach Terry and or I for any one of those things. We do workshops for events, outdoor events, indoor events. We've gone and done events for employers, for communications, in employees, team building, drum workshops. There's not too much we don't do, but most of our things revolve around personal growth, personal wellness, and just creating a more harmonious environment in which to live and work.
Mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah, there you go, mind, body, and spirit. So if any of that hits home with you or resonates and you'd like to reach out to us, please do so at the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page. And Terry, what's the best way if somebody wanted to get in touch with you?
Well, I did want to add one thing, that we are obviously our calendar is starting to get full. We're going to be at Caldera Fest for Memorial Day. We're going to be in New Jersey in mid-June. So if you are interested in having us come out to whatever you've got going during the festival season, you might want to get in touch with us before it gets too crowded.
Yeah, we have a couple other things I know on the calendar already, like Libertine, and there's one in September as well.
I think Libertine is the one in September. There's another one. So we're supposed to go back out to Indiana, and that's where we were talking about sacred sexuality and that sort of those sorts of topics as well. So, if someone wants to contact me, the easiest way is to find my friends page on Facebook. It is Terry Power. Look for the one in North Copley, Pennsylvania, that says something about Spiritual Unity Radio Network. There are several other people with the same name, lucky guys, but there's only one of me. So find that one in North Carolina.
All right.
And or you can find my public figure page is Rev Terry Power HP, and there's only one of them. So from there you can link to my friends page, or you can follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. And
great.
Then Robin has already mentioned all the ways to get in touch with the station and the two of us together and all that stuff.
Hercules, I want to thank you so much for being with us. And I would love to have you come back on the show. You're so interesting. I have so many things I could talk to you about. We could
thank
talk
you.
About
Bradley
alien
honored.
Abductions. We could talk about, you know, Olympian Reconstructionism. There's so many things we could talk about. but thank you for spending this hour with us. We really appreciate you giving up of your time to the station and agreeing to come on and play with us for an hour. And
it was a pleasure.
Yeah, always our pleasure. And I'm looking forward to seeing you, and I'm sure we'll be in touch about the Hands of Change event. And we will be getting a blurb on to advertise that event, I'm sure, here in the next couple of weeks. And,
fantastic.
Yep. Okay, I guess that's it. I just want to say to everybody, as I always do, enjoy your week. We'll see you next Monday. And in the meantime, spread the love.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Hercules.
Good night, Robin and Terry.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.